time when all the birds had fled. That's why DJ managed to send Ginger cards instead. Before the light the stars do dim and wandering hunters heard a hymn. Jesus your King is born, Jesus is born, in excess is glory.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 362.
To us the child of hope is born, to us the son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, and all the hosts of heaven.
Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Preparation for the Holy Birth. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, Isaiah. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert an highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Malachi. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. St. Luke. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well now stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me even according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There's none of thy kindred that's called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. The Gospel of St. John. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And now, correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The definition of wilderness: loneliness, doubt, darkness. Spontaneity of thought and idea: a vestibule in which a material sense of things disappears, and spiritual sense unfolds the great facts of existence. The definition of Elias: prophecy, spiritual evidence opposed to material sense. Christian Science, with which can be discerned the spiritual fact of whatever the material senses behold, the basis of immortality. Elias truly shall come first and restore all things. Scientific interpretation of the Scriptures properly starts with the beginning of the Old Testament, chiefly because the spiritual import of the word in its earliest articulations often seems so smothered by the immediate context as to require explication, whereas the New Testament narratives are clearer and come nearer the heart. Jesus illumines them, showing the poverty of mortal existence, but richly recompensing human want and woe with spiritual gain. John the Baptist prophesied the coming of the Immaculate Jesus, and John saw in those days the spiritual idea as the Messiah, who had baptized with the Holy Ghost, divine science. The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil, and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. The attainment of this celestial condition would improve our progeny, diminish crime, and give higher aims to ambition. Every valley of sin must be exalted, and every mountain of selfishness be brought low, that the highway of our God may be prepared in science. The offspring of heavenly-minded parents inherit more intellect, better balanced minds, and sounder constitutions, wearing in part a human form, that is, as it seemed to mortal view, being conceived by a human mother. Jesus was the mediator between spirit and the flesh, between truth and error. Jesus' spiritual origin and understanding enabled him to demonstrate the facts of being, to prove irrefutably how spiritual truth destroys material error, heals sickness, and overcomes death. The divine conception of Jesus pointed to this truth and presented an illustration of creation. The opposite and false views of the people hid from their sense Christ's sonship with God. The senses represent birth as untimely and death as irresistible, as if man were a weed growing apace or a flower withered by the sun and nipped by untimely frosts. But this is true only of a mortal, not of a man in God's image and likeness. The conceptions of mortal erring thought must give way to the ideal of all that is perfect and eternal. Through many generations, human beliefs will be attaining diviner conceptions, and the immortal and perfect model of God's creation will finally be seen as the only true conception of being. As a material, theoretical life basis is found to be a misapprehension of existence, the spiritual and divine principle of man dawns upon human thought and leads it to where the young child was, even to the birth of a new old idea, to the spiritual sense of being and of what life includes. To attend properly the birth of the new child or the divine idea, you should so detach mortal thought from its material conceptions that the birth will be natural and safe. Though gathering new energy, this idea cannot injure its useful surroundings in the travail of spiritual birth. A spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth removes properly whatever is offensive. The new idea, conceived and born of truth and love, is clad in white garments. Its beginning will be meek, its growth sturdy, and its maturity undecaying. When this new birth takes place, the Christian Science infant is born of the Spirit, born of God, and can cause the mother no more suffering. Spirit, God, gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts, even as he opens the petals of a holy purpose, in order that the purpose may appear. Through divine science, Spirit, God, unites understanding to eternal harmony. The impersonation of the spiritual idea had a brief history in the earthly life of our Master, but of his kingdom there shall be no end. For Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and peoples, imperatively, absolutely, finally, with divine science. John Young of Edinburgh writes, God is the Father of mind and of nothing else. Such an utterance is the voice of one crying in the wilderness of human beliefs and preparing the way of science. Let us learn of the real and eternal and prepare for the reign of Spirit, the kingdom of heaven, the reign and rule of universal harmony, which cannot be lost nor remain forever unseen. When a new spiritual idea is born to earth, the prophetic scripture of Isaiah is renewedly fulfilled. Unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful.